In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God forever.
A blessed and beautiful continuing feast of the Dormition of the Theotokos, the Ever-Virgin Mary. Sometimes I get asked why we celebrate so many events from the Virgin Mary's life, and how joyfully and poetically and meaningfully the celebrations unfold. Of course, we celebrate gazillions of saints, but the celebrations surrounding the Mother of God rise to a different level altogether, both in frequency and in grandeur. And the reasons for this are many. One, Mary is awesome. I mean, that's reason enough. She took on the greatest responsibility the world has ever known, to bear and to nurture and to raise, and then ultimately to let go of the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us, God come to us in the flesh as her own child. And Mary rose to that responsibility not because she trusted in herself, but in God. That God's love was with her always, that God would be a continuous presence within her. Mary also gave Jesus his flesh from her own body, her own flesh and blood. The Savior's human DNA was Mary's DNA. The Lord's body was made of Mary's actual body. Mary was compassionate, a heart full of love and gentleness. It was shown once when she interceded for the wedding couple at Cana, when they had run out of wine and were at the risk of being terribly embarrassed in front of all their guests. And Mary interceded for them. And she also was no pushover. She went toe-to-toe with Jesus when he balked at helping the young couple. She still pushed and said, no, it's going to happen. And Mary had courage to stand at the foot of the cross and witness her own child crucified, knowing there was nothing she could do about it. Mary was among the first witnesses of the resurrection and was in the upper room at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out. How could we not celebrate Mary with uniquely glorious commemorations? Now, in addition to all this, there's another inspiration to the frequency and the grandeur of our Theotokos festivities. Everything we celebrate about Mary, we're also celebrating about ourselves. In other words, what happens in the Mother of God can happen in you. Mary had Jesus growing within her. We can have Jesus grow within us. Mary brought Christ into the world. We can share Christ in the world. Mary has compassion and intercedes for others. We can have compassion and intercede for others. Mary stood with the suffering when there was nothing she could do to stop it. And we can likewise stand with the suffering even when we can't fix it. We can still be with. And Mary shared her flesh with Jesus, and now Jesus shares his flesh with us in the Eucharist. Every major thing we can say about the Holy Mother can be said about you and me. And so as we come to this feast of the Dormition of Mary's death, we arrive confident that it is a prophecy for the life of every believer. Not that anyone's death would match the details of the Holy Mother of Light. We are obviously each unique persons, each leading our own unique lives. But the qualities that surround a loving believer's death will certainly parallel those that surrounded Mary's death. I have here an icon of the Dormition. This is the traditional icon, and it's an image of Mary's funeral, actually. It's an image of the funeral, and Mary's dead body lies on this open casket. And many disciples and mourners are gathered around, grieving the separation they're going to experience from this remarkable woman. And at the same time, they are celebrating. They're not just mourning, they're also celebrating the holiest of lives and the confidence in the eternal life that she has already entered. That's the visible part of the funeral. But we also have this invisible part of the funeral being shown. We have this blue-white mandorla, this indication of the intersection of heaven and earth, those moments when God and creation mingle in a particular way, kind of like the center of a mystical Venn diagram. And in that mingling place of divine mystery, we see our Savior, Jesus Christ, surrounded by angels and holding what looks like a little baby. And this baby is an artistic representation of Mary's soul. You know, the human soul is, of course, invisible, but in order to depict the reality in an icon, we have to make it look like something. So the church has decided to make it look like an infant. And this is the great part. The pose of adult Jesus holding the infant Mary is an exact juxtaposition, a complete reversal of the traditional icon of the Theotokos, which we have all over our churches. In the Theotokos icon, we see Mary giving physical life to Jesus, bringing the Savior into the world. In the Dormition icon, we see Jesus giving eternal life to Mary, bringing her into the kingdom of heaven. And like we said of the event itself, this icon is not just an image of Mary's funeral, but the funeral of every person who loves God. Our bodies eventually die. Our loved ones and friends gather around, and they grieve, and they pray, and they also celebrate what we lived. And then invisibly, Jesus and the angels greet our soul and receive us into the unfiltered presence of God in the kingdom of heaven. Her icon is our icon. Just change the person laying in the casket. And Mary's death and translation into the kingdom of God is a reminder of who we are as the people of God, and it's a reminder of your potential as a human being. That the grave is not just waiting there to cast your life into oblivion, but that your eventual death in this world is a door into something far greater. And one of the reasons that we bless flowers and herbs on this day is to reveal this truth. I mean, firstly, flowers are an offering of beauty and love for our Holy Mother. And beauty and love is meaning enough. It would be meaning enough. But there's a prophecy hidden in flowers that also is being revealed here. I mean, if you didn't know any better and you saw a flower seed, you'd think, oh, that's mildly interesting, if you noticed it at all. But bury the seed in the ground and nurture it and take care of it. And look what you get. I mean, look what you get. Our life in this world is like the seed, while life in the age to come is more glorious beyond compare than that. Eternal life is a grand, fragrant bouquet compared to the tiny seed of our current existence. So if you ever wondered, why do we celebrate so deeply the life of the Mother of God? The first answer is, she's awesome. She doesn't need any more reason than that. But a second equally true answer is, Mary's life is a revelation of every believer's life, of your life. Every lover of God will have those same qualities in their own life that Mary had, except being unique to themselves, to your own details. In other words, Mary's life is a window into your potential as a human being. Amen.